Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today. A Bible question, perhaps some life issue you're dealing with. This is your opportunity to speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel, and that number is 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now. Fill up those lines because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we introduced a topic about being near to God, drawing near to God, and the fact that God initiates, that God opens that door to us, that through Him, through Christ Jesus, we all have access. And that's the beautiful picture that we see on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified. Something happened in the temple, and it was miraculous. The curtain that stood before the Holy of Holies that separated God and man was torn from top to bottom. What was that? It was signifying that access into God's presence was now available. Oftentimes, I think we think of God just in this inner sanctum, and for us to get to Him, we have to go through barrier after barrier after barrier after barrier. He set up this whole system of people. If we can get through the first group, then there's the second group we have to get through. It's a lot like a CEO of a major corporation. How many of us commoners could just knock on that guy's door and go waltzing in and have a conversation? No, we're going to have to go through a secretary. We're going to have to get an appointment. We're going to have to present kind of our ideas of what we want to discuss, and then they'll review it, and maybe he'll see us, maybe not. Yeah. So we're breaking down the doors to try to get near to that God. Near to that guy, but that's not God. God has already removed all of those doors. God has removed all of those barriers, and we see that in His reconciling work through Jesus Christ. We read Colossians chapter 1 yesterday about how God reconciled all things unto Himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to read a companion passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. All this is from God. So this story, this gospel story, starts with God. He initiates. He brings it about. It's His story, and we get to participate in it. We get to be invited to the table to enjoy fellowship and a relationship with Him. So all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God was at work knocking down all the barriers, removed every single one of them, so He would smooth out the way for you and me to draw near unto Him. And how do we draw near to God? It is in receiving this reconciliation. So God, in His grace, knocked down those barriers, removed sin once and for all, removed the code that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He removed the law. He removed our record of sin. So all of those barriers have been removed. We don't have to try to knock them down. We don't have to try to work our way through them. Access is just granted. And grace of God says, go boldly in. The grace of God says, draw near. The grace of God says, receive. That's what this reconciling work of Jesus Christ is all about. So He's reconciled us. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ ambassadors, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So the barriers have been removed. Everything has been made open and available and accessible to you. So boldly walk in. That's what faith does. That's the response of faith, is to go boldly in. Now, once you're in, here's the good news. God seals you, sends His Spirit to take up residence in you, And now you're in union with Christ. You drew near. The grace of God drew you near. You responded in faith. Now you're in union. You can't get any closer than that. Yeah. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, oftentimes in churches, the way churches structure themselves, and this is true of all kinds of denominations, that guy on the pulpit is inaccessible to those folks in the pew.
Right.
I remember going to one church, a big church. I knew the pastor. He was kind of a friend. And after the service, I went up to say hello, and I had to work myself through just three or four different barriers before I can even say hello. I had to talk to this person. Well, why do you want to talk to him? What's your agenda? And then she let me through to the next group and then to the next group. And it was like, good golly Molly, he's just a guy, for goodness sakes. But a lot of churches set their pastors up like that and make him inaccessible. And we start thinking that's how God is. He is inaccessible to us. We can't just go to him. We're going to have to go to somebody else. We're going to have to work our way through. Well, let this message of reconciliation be proof to you that that's not true, that you can go in, that you can draw near, and now that you're in his presence, you're going to be in his presence forever, because that's just how God worked it. Why? Because that's just how God is. God wanted a relationship with us. He did everything he needed to do to make it available by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
And that is good news, Basic Gospel listeners. We're glad you're here to partake of it today. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. We have open lines for you right now at 844-322-2742. As I said, it's good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you wherever you're listening to the broadcast or viewing the broadcast of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is free, but bringing it to the airwaves and online is an expensive endeavor, and it's only because you give that others can hear, believe, and live in this love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get a chance, drop by BasicGospel.net and make a donation to help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming. Again, just click donate at BasicGospel.net. Bob, I want to give the phone number one more time before we go to our first call, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial if you'd like to speak directly with us right here at Basic Gospel today, 844-322-2742. Now from the online or offline system, we had this call that came in overnight.
Hello, this is Gabriel Jarella from beautiful British Columbia, North Vancouver, Canada. And listen to your message and throughout the years, and I wanted to know about Adam and Eve and the basic creations and what you all have to say or teach or preach or find up what they all have now come up in the new dead scrolls about Lilith and about could there be two observations upon this matter. You understand my question. Thank you. God bless you for answering, and all your friends and family be safe and well throughout this pandemic. God bless.
Nice. Well, Gabriel, thanks for calling. We certainly appreciate it. We're glad you're a listener, and we hope you're listening to the answer on today's broadcast. You bring up a name, Lilith. And Lilith is an interesting character. She finds her origin, I think, in Jewish folklore. So many people were Jewish rabbis throughout history have kind of looked at the Genesis creation account, and they see in Genesis 1 a story of creation, and they see in Genesis 2 kind of a second story of creation. So according to their legend, according to the myth that they have put forth, they believe that when God first created, he created man and woman at the very same time, and then something happened, and in Genesis 2 there was a second creation of another woman taken out of the side of Adam. So this first woman and they gave her a name. They gave her the name Lilith. And she became the mother of demons because she rejected Adam, rejected God. She has become a symbol for feminists today. But it's just a legend. It's just a myth. It's just fiction. So it was some rabbi's way of trying to fill in the gaps of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, at least a gap that they saw in their minds. Now, as far as those two chapters are concerned, I think most people read it and say, hey, here's how God created. He spoke man and woman into existence. And then chapter 2, he gives us a little more detail of how that came about. So it's not telling two different stories, and it's not saying there are two different women who were associated with Adam. No, he's just talking about how he created mankind, that he created them male and female, and then he gives us some detail in chapter 2. So this idea of Lilith, like I said, it's nothing more than a myth. It's nothing more than a fictional character, and it's a character that has found her way in numerous cultures throughout human history, and we've seen a resurgence of her. There's been poems written about her, even some television series about vampires have mentioned her, have put her out there as the mother of vampires, that sort of thing. So we see this character, but it's, like I said, it's nothing more than a myth. She's not in the Bible. There is one verse, Isaiah 34:14, where the King James Version has her name right there, but that's the only version that mentions her. Everybody else puts her as a night creature, interprets it as some night creature, and so that's what she's come to be known as, a night creature, the mother of demons. And again, it's just all folklore, it's all myth. It's not something that we need to pay attention to. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Jewish Bible. It's not in the Christian Bible. It's just a fictional story.
Yes, indeed. Gabriel, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for giving us that call. We hope that if you have further questions, you'll give us another call. Just let us hear from you. Well, again, that number, 844-322-2742, is open right now, and let's take another call that came in off hours, Bob.
My question is it correct to say that the New Testament is completely foretold in the Old Testament? I saw a book called Jesus in Every Book of the Old Testament, and I plan on reading it. I'm kind of a neophyte to the gospel, but I got so disgusted over the past couple of years with politics that I realized that putting your faith in man is pretty much a lost cause. I'll listen and see if you guys answer it. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that question, and yes, the New Testament is foretold in the Old Testament. Why? Because the Bible, from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, is really God's testimony concerning his Son. It's a book all about Jesus Christ. So he was foretold in the Old Testament. The law and the prophets spoke about Jesus. They spoke about his personhood. They spoke details about what his human life was going to look like, where he was going to be born, and all of these details. And then they even talked about what he came to accomplish through his death, burial, and resurrection. We see in the gospel accounts Jesus becoming flesh and blood and dwelling among us and carrying out the ministry that was foretold in the Old Testament. And then we see in the rest of the New Testament the explanation of what that means for you and for me. So, yes, this book is all about Jesus. And we see that in several passages. One, words of Jesus himself in one of his conversations with the Pharisees. So in John chapter 5, starting in verse 39, it says, "And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent." And he says, "You search the scriptures." And he's talking to the religious leaders of the day. He says, "You search the scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. So what did Jesus say about the Old Testament? What did he say about the law and the prophets? He said that those writings were writings about him. Those were writings that bore witness about Jesus Christ himself. And then he gives this charge against them. Yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. So Jesus was saying the Old Testament was all about himself. We also see that in one of his post-resurrection appearances. He comes alongside two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they have this conversation, and they look all gloom and sad and down. And Jesus says, well, you know, what's up with that? And he said, well, haven't you heard? Jesus was crucified, and he was buried, and we didn't think it was going to happen that way. And why are you kind of out to lunch on all of this news? And Jesus started to talk to them more, and he explained to them everything in the law and the prophets concerning himself. Mm-hmm. And it says that those disciples' hearts were strangely warmed, and they recognized them. They finally recognized them, and everything kind of started to fall into place as far as their understanding was concerned. So, yes, what we see as far as Jesus and his ministry and his death and his burial and his resurrection was all foretold in the Old Testament, and now it's explained fully for us in the writings in the New Testament.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, we appreciate hearing from all of those of you who contact us. No matter how you contact us, it's a great way. And you can use the overnight system, 844-322-2742, or you can use what I call the Right Now system, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. We still have some time on the clock and open lines again, 844-322-2742. And very quickly, a great, great conference coming up. We call it United, coming in middle October. Friends, we want you to be a part of it. And you can get information and register online at basicgospel.net/united. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley are united in this message of grace, and we want you, as I said, to come and be with us, because we'll be able to sit shoulder to shoulder and just have a good time like we used to have all the time, and before COVID, of course. But we're going to do it again, middle October, 15th through the 17th. Again, all the information available at basicgospel.net/united.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk with Robert, listening to us on KRKS in Denver. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Hi, Bob. And Bob, thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I love your ministry. I listen almost every day when I have the chance to do so. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
My question is this. I know the Bible says that in some cases, you know, good works are considered filthy rags. And in other cases, works are, you know, pleasing to the Lord. And so I guess I'm a little bit confused in that, as a Christian, oftentimes I'll do something that I think is pleasing to the Lord, but then I start thinking to myself, well, I wonder if the Lord's looking at this as a filthy rag and not really, you know, pleasing to him. And I would just like to get a little clarification on the difference between the two and how do I know that I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do rather than, I guess, just being a nice guy.
Great question.
Well, yeah, that is a great question, Robert. And let me point you to a verse in Romans 8:9, and it says this: those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, Robert, at one time you were in the flesh, you were lost, you were dead in trespasses and sins, you lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. You followed the ways of this world. I did too. I was once in the flesh. That's how we came into this world. Now, if we set our mind on the flesh, we're going to see this hostility toward God. So if we're trying to produce good works that are going to please God while we're in the flesh, then they're going to come out as filthy rags. Why? Because we have no righteousness in and of ourselves. We have self-righteousness, which is no righteousness at all. So it's just going to come out as a fleshly, sinful work, kind of the works of the flesh or the deeds of the flesh. But then we have this moment where the gospel touches our hearts and in such a way that we respond to it through faith and we're made new. So we're no longer in the flesh, but we're in the spirit. And so we have a new location. We have a new realm of existence. Now, as we live in that new realm, we have the Spirit of God living in us. So he's the source of all the goodness that comes out of us. So as we are walking by faith, then we're going to see the works coming out of us that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So it's kind of a system that's rigged, Robert.
It really is.
You know, God, when you have the right source living in you, and as a believer, you do have the right source living in you, his name is Jesus, then you can count on him to produce his fruit in and through you and to do good works in and through you. So you are pleasing to God, Robert. You can count on that because God has made that so through Jesus. You're pleasing to him because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And as you just simply trust, walk by faith in the Lord, that's what it takes to please God, just a simple trust, a simple faith in Jesus, then the works that come out of you are going to follow suit. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so oftentimes we are our own worst critics. We are our worst judges. Yeah. We judge ourselves harshly. We try to judge our motives. We try to get down and dissect every aspect of us and then see if we can make a judgment as whether or not that was good or bad or whatever it might be. And I think what the Word of God is telling us to do, Robert, is forget about judging yourself. Forget about trying to figure all those things out. Leave that to God and just go about your life as a child of God, knowing that he's pleased with you, allowing Christ to do his good work in and through you.
Robert, thanks for that question. I thought I was the only one that had those thoughts, so thanks for making me feel better.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a blessed day.
You are so welcome. Robert, let me ask you this. Do you have a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace?
I do not.
Well, let me put you on hold. I want to send it to you just for picking up the phone and making this call today. So you hang on, and we'll get it to you. I think this will be a big, big help to you, okay? You hang on.
And friends, if you'd like to get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, all you need to do is simply go to basicgospel.net. Bob Christopher wrote this book some time ago, and it has reached into the hearts and lives of many, many people, literally in the U.S. and around the world. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher, and you can find it at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, it's because of you that we're here every weekday, bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, we need your help now as always to ensure that the message of grace continues on the air and online. So donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, that as many of you have, the listener line is open around the clock for those of you who can't make the call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life in general, well, leave us a voicemail, and we'd love to address your call. And you can make that call at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And once again, overnight, remember the great conference coming up. We're calling it United with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. That's coming up middle October, and you can get all the information at basicgospel.net/united. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to come back again tomorrow, same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye. We'll